Well, hey there, Eco Heroes. Have you ever experienced a week where life threw you a curveball and everything was turned upside down and you had to put all your eco principles on hold while you kind of dealt with the situation at hand? Well, we experienced one of these weeks recently when my father-in-law passed away, and I dubbed it the week of yes, because that seemed to be my default answer to all the incoming requests from my sons. Now, in this episode today, I'm going to share a little bit about our week of yes and explain why I believe it's more than okay to have a week like this every now and again. Welcome to the Eco Chat podcast. I'm your host, Laura Trotter, and I'm here to show you how you can create an eco-ceptional life you love without compromising your lifestyle. Tune in for inspiring interviews with real-life eco-heroes, plus my own theories, thoughts, and tips for sustainable living. I'm all about making green mainstream, and I'd love to help you on your eco-journey. So let's get started. Look, there's been some fantastic things that have happened recently for me, including winning silver in the Oz Mumpreneur Awards in the sustainability category last week and going to Melbourne and catching up with so many of my online business friends. And we also had a lovely family holiday not long ago in Byron Bay as well. So life has been really good. And I guess I've also welcomed a heap of new women into my home detox community this week as well. So life has been really good. But there's always a yin and a yang. And I guess last month we had a few really tough weeks as well. But one week in particular was really hard. And that was when my family lost our beloved nonno, Marco Trotter, my husband Paul's father, and indeed my father-in-law. Now, it wasn't totally unexpected as he'd been failing for a few months, but it all happened really quickly in his final days. Now, we travelled to and from Adelaide, which is 1,200 kilometres round trip, several times between April and July to spend time with him and Nonna. But when the crunch came, we just made it in time in his final days. So just a couple of months ago, so midway through the final week of June, Nonno started to deteriorate quickly and the doctors thought he had around 2 weeks to live. So we made plans to travel to Adelaide again to see him and we started preparing ourselves to, I guess, say our goodbyes. We only intended to be in Adelaide for a few days as Paul needed to return for work and our eldest son, Matthew, who's six, would be missing school. But I know, I was always like a brownie guide and a girl guide and you always had that motto, be prepared. So I guess I packed an outfit for a funeral just in case and I made sure the boys had something nice to wear as well. And I was trying to get Paul to pack his suit, but he just stressed, yeah, I don't need to pack my suit. There's plenty of time to come back and collect it if it's required. You know, we're only going for a few days, you know, or so he thought. So on arrival into Adelaide on the Saturday, we decided to swing past the hospital first and I'm really glad we did. Because Nonno was unconscious and he'd slipped into, I guess, that state just the day before. So we sat with him and we said what we wanted to say. And even though he was unconscious, I'm sure he knew we were there and he could hear us. We then headed back to Nonno and Nonno's house where we were staying. And Paul returned to the hospital that evening with his mum and his three siblings. And in fact, his eldest brother had just flown in from Brisbane the night before. So this was the first time that they all went to see their dad in hospital together. It would also be the last time. So within 2 hours of them all arriving, Nonno passed away with his family by his side, which was really nice. I guess you can't really ask for too much more in the end, I guess, to die with your loved ones around you. But indeed, the curtains closed on the life of a really wonderful man. And he was an amazing man. So, you know, he was in his mid-80s now, but, you know, he came out as a teenager with a couple of his brothers as a young Italian migrant in the post-war years and, I guess, created the life for his family that, you know, and with all the opportunities that he didn't have when he was young. So I think he'd left school by the age of 10. He was working in the family business and, yeah, came out to Australia to make his fortune, I guess. So he worked really hard as a builder and that provided for his family. And he did it. He was an amazing husband, really gentle man as well. So I guess, yeah, he passed away, and the next few days were really a blur, as you can expect. So Nonna's phone just rang constantly with people sending the condolences from all around the world. So there was phone calls from Italy and from Argentina, where there's relatives there, and all across Australia as well. So that was really nice, but it was constant. And friends and family were continually popping in, and I guess Nonna was one of 10. So he still had quite a lot of family still in Adelaide, with two sisters there and a brother as well, and then their children, and quite a large extended Italian family. Really, really nice family that I'm privileged to be part of. But anyway, so everyone was coming around, and of course there was a funeral to arrange. So my mother-in-law Maria was just, you know, kind of in that state. She just wanted to get the funeral organised and over with, I guess. So, you know, all that was over. But it was winter in Adelaide, and it was cold, and it was pouring with rain. Nonna's house is essentially a two-bedroom unit, and we were staying there with her. So we were, I guess, with her throughout this period. But the boys were starting to climb the walls. You know, Christopher's 4, Matthew's 6, and, you know, they got energy. And, yeah, so I guess the week of yes had begun. So by lunchtime on the Sunday, which was the day after Nonna had passed, I needed to get the boys out of the house, because they were literally climbing the walls, and, you know, Nonna and all, I guess, all her children were trying to start to get preparations for the funeral. So I had to get the boys out. They're going through this yelling phase, and like, you know, people can't mourn and, you know, just reflect when there's two little kids yelling at the top of their lungs, playing whatever games they're playing, Paw Patrol or Octonauts or something. But anyway, I had to get them out of the house, but it was teeming down with rain and it was freezing. So I did what I had to do, and I took them to the local shopping centre, which is Tea Tree Plaza. So being country kids, they're just not used to shops. So this exercise alone was always going to be interesting, but we kind of needed to kill some time and burn some energy. So I guess we walked past rides, and normally, you know, they might be allowed to go on one ride, or sometimes I say no. But on this day, you know, the question came, "Mum, can we go on this Peppa Pig ride?" And yeah, yes. And then 2 minutes later, "Mum, can we go on it again?" Well, I guess I don't see why not. And so it continued. And they went on more than just the Peppa Pig ride that day, I can tell you. But anyway, we walked past Big W, and there was a big Lego display, and the boys made a beeline for it. And then all of a sudden we found ourselves in the toy department. And then I found myself at the counter paying for a new toy for each of the boys. So nice plastic Paw Patrol vehicles. Maybe $70 worth. Look, I guess at the time I didn't see this as a big deal. We'd hardly packed any toys, and it now looked like we'd be in Adelaide for at least a week. So they could do with something to entertain them, and I guess one new toy each wasn't excessive. And besides, I was tired. I was upset. I didn't want arguments. I didn't feel like saying no. So yes, it was. And then it continued. We soon found ourselves in the food court. Now, besides Subway, there's no fast food outlets in the town we live, so the boys aren't acquainted, I guess, with this kind of food, if you can call it that. However, they'd eaten McDonald's fries once before earlier in the year on another few days in Adelaide, where we said yes to a few things. And today they were asking for the fries again. And of course, I was tired. I was upset. I didn't want arguments. Didn't feel like saying no. So yes, it was. Now around an hour or so later, we headed back to Nonna's, and I had two happy and tired boys in tow. So my mission was accomplished. Until the next day. So on the Monday, funeral preparations were well underway, and the boys were climbing the walls again because it was cold again and wet again. So off to the plaza they went. Again, this time with their dad. Now, as I mentioned, Paul didn't pack his suit, and he really didn't pack many other clothes either, so he needed to do a little bit of shopping. They'd returned a few hours later, each with a new toy again, and I think they also enjoyed an ice cream and a few other things there as well. You see, Dad was tired, Dad was upset, Dad didn't want arguments, Dad didn't feel like saying no, so yes, it was. And so it went on. Now, it was a busy, emotionally intense week. The boys were sleeping in the lounge room, and bedtime was a good 2 to 3 hours later than normal. I mean, they were really lucky to get to sleep before 10 or 10:30 at night, as the house was constantly full of visitors and the phone seemed to be always ringing. Like, they were really tired, but they were handling the chaos really well. And I guess you've got to imagine, like, there's two little boys and, you know, everyone's quite emotional around them. I mean, there were some tears. There were, you know, just everyone's tired and a bit on edge and just not normal. So they were in amongst it as well. But they were doing really well. And in fact, Nonna was so happy with them, she slipped them some money to buy another new toy. So off to the plaza they went again to add to their growing Paw Patrol collection. Now, this new toy collection was starting to get a bit ridiculous, but I'll be honest with you, it was kind of a godsend as well. There was so much to do to organise a funeral, so many people to call, guests to be fed. Like I said, there was constantly visitors coming in and out, and the toys provided the perfect outlet for the boys. And while they were happy, all the adults could get on with whatever needed to be done. So the day of the funeral came, this was a Wednesday, and it was a tough day, but it wasn't tough for the kids. They had their new toys as well as their cousins to play with and heaps of yummy sometimes food to eat. And I guess I was pretty busy that day, especially at the wake and the party afterwards, you know, just running the kitchen and, you know, getting everyone cups of tea and stuff. So I didn't spend much time with the boys that day. But when I finally sat down for a breather late in the afternoon, I asked Matthew, my six-year-old, what he'd eaten, and he proudly declared with a really big swollen belly, like it was sticking out, he said I'd have six bread rolls and two Tim Tams, Mum. And that's right, that's six white dinner rolls with nothing on them, just the bread rolls and two Tim Tams, which are like a really decadent chocolate biscuit in Australia. Nice. So I guess I cringed, but I just accepted it as just part of the week, yes. Things would get back to normal soon. And things did return to normal. But not before a few more trips to the plaza, a movie outing to see Finding Dory, a day inside the indoor play centre Wacky Warehouse, and eating some more sometimes food. But a few days later, we returned home with a car full of Paw Patrol toys covering two little beaming boys who declared that the best thing about the week was actually getting to play with their cousins, which was really nice. So why am I sharing this with you? Well, I guess I know you're trying your best to live as sustainably as you can. You're trying to feed your kids real foods and cut back on your consumption. But none of us are perfect. Indeed, I'm not perfect either. And we all have days or even weeks where we need to focus on something else. Your week of yes may not be for the same reasons as our recent week of yes, but the principles are the same. Your green guilt is there because you have a conscience. You care. But I just want you to know that things will return to normal. So be kind to yourself. You're doing a great job and it's okay to have a week of yes. So I'm keen to hear if you've experienced a week of yes yourself recently. And how did you manage your green guilt? Did you just embrace the crazy and go with the flow until life went back to normal? I'd just love to hear. So you can hit me up in social media or check out where this podcast is housed on my blog at lauratrotter.com/blog. And, you know, pop your comments there and we can have a little chat, or just even feel free to email me at hello@lauratrotter.com. I'd love to hear what you think about my week of yes and your weeks of yes too. Okay, go heroes, be kind to yourself. Go out there, have an occasional week of yes, get back on track, get back to normal, and continue to do your best to help make green mainstream. Catch you later. Thanks for listening to the EcoChat podcast. I'm Laura Trotter. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love you to subscribe, share with your friends, and leave a review in iTunes. And if you're keen to continue the conversation, head on over to my website, lauratrotter.com, where you can also pick up your free copy of my e-guide, 11 Steps to Ecofire Your Home and Your Life. Catch you there.